welcome to This Black Girl Podcast. I am one half of your host, Ola.Miss.Lola on Instagram. Unfortunately, today, my partner in crime, The Hill Diva, is not with us today. However, I do have another guest. You guys know him at this point fairly well. It is the Mister.
Hello, hi. The other partner in crime for all non-podcast related subjects.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. That ain't a single tap notice. Okay. Today, I guess the topic is gonna kind of lean in a similar theme to what we've been running for season two. A lot of season two, you've kind of seen in the background, has been us connecting with a whole spectrum of different men of all ethnicities, backgrounds, experiences, talking about how they feel about women, how they feel about relationships, what type of position relationships they're in, their insights, their input. And I figured, you know, throw in your input too.
Yeah.
And I guess this kind of sparked the conversation because I had seen a post online where a woman said, like, essentially asking for, like, a man to show initiative in terms of meeting up. Like, saying, essentially, it's never, hey, what are you doing Saturday? Let's do this. Rather than, like, what are you doing? And kind of being more passive about the planning or the meeting up.
Yeah, and then you and I started talking about it and how I was watching another video recently with, like, it was like a podcast with a whole group of people. Mm-hmm. And one of the dudes in it was basically being problematic as fuck and saying, like, I don't eat vagina, I don't eat girls out, I don't care when a girl comes, I only care when I come. And it's the way somebody else who was like reacting to it, because I was watching someone like react to this shit show podcast.
Yeah.
Basically brought up the fact that like this is the classic pickup artist shit that was big in like the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
But one step down from that even. Like it's that, but even lazier.
But it's just like when I hear that kind of stuff, like all I can, what it's screaming in my head is like, tell me you don't like women without telling me you don't like women. Because it's like, how can you say that, oh, I like women, I like this, I like certain things about them, I like this, like, and have so something so specific, but then also have no interest in pleasing the woman that you claim to be attracted to or that you find desirable.
And I don't even know why you'd want to put yourself in this kind of mental trap where, like, you're so concerned about your masculinity that, like, you don't like women, clearly, but you're also, your masculinity hinges on the ability to pick up women. So you're right. stuck in this weird double bind where, like, you don't like women, but women have power over you because if they don't accept you in a romantic or even just straight sexual sense, then you're not a proper man. That's part of the whole like ego thing.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, there was actually an incident that happened earlier this week / over the weekend. I feel terrible because I forget her name. After we're done recording and putting this in the description, I'm actually gonna put her name in the description because it's super important. But there was a woman this week who was murdered by a man who worked in her building. Who she rejected his advances.
Oh yeah, the double fucked up part of the story is from what I remember of it is like she's 19.
Yeah, she's super
and
young.
This dude is a maintenance worker. Like yeah. This is an adult trying to ask a child on a date and the child says no and he freaks out.
Well, like,
you know what I mean? Like
my whole thing is yes, I agree. Like the maintenance worker in that aspect is, to me, I only find it relevant because it's like, my good sir, you are at work. You are at your space of employment and you're attempting to fraternize with the customer base that you work for. and you and they're keeping it professional, and maybe she wasn't, you don't know, but maybe the space and scope was not conductive to, or made her feel comfortable because you work here.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she didn't feel comfortable because she's 19, and this man, if he's working as some kind of maintenance worker, clearly is older, probably older than 19.
I'm sure there's many factors to determine her decision. Her decision is hers and hers alone and should have been respected. But, like, irregardless, this guy's, like, went through so many, crossed so many boundaries, professionally, personally. And then when he was rejected, he, like, the answer was resorting to murder.
Yeah, if anything, we have to find out where this dude's prison is and just mail him letters every week about how tiny his penis is, because that's like the ultimate
micro dick energy.
Yeah, like, just like fuck. Just literal like lima bean between your pants energy.
Well, like a lot of videos that I've come across of men talking about it, for the most part, thankfully, have been like, guys, we need to do better. Like, how are people not more upset at this fact? Because I've always said, and I will say it to every person I ever come across who ever questions, oh, how come so-and-so doesn't like me? How come so-and-so's not into me? Why can't she like me or whatever? I'm like, my answer is always like, you need to, like, want somebody who wants you.
Yeah.
You know? Like, don't settle for somebody who's settling for you.
I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, mm-hmm. Because they were asking advice, because they were saying, like, oh, I've got this friend, and he's so in love with this one girl, yes. But the problem is she's a lesbian, and I was just like, bro, then you're not in love with her. Like, you're in love with some fantasy version of her, but she can't love you back.
Right.
Like, you can't just go around making up fantasies and expecting people to live up to them. Like, go find someone else. Like, this isn't the person for you.
Well,
and I'm sorry that sucks to accept, but it's like, you can't force people to love you. You just can't do it.
But not even that. I was going to say, like, with 7 billion people on the planet, you're that transfixed on one?
Yeah. And like, it's wild, too, because it's like, it's the epitome of little dick energy, because these people are so concerned about being rejected, but then at the same time, like, they can't, they get so fixated on the people who reject them. It's like, are you just a glutton for punishment? Are you just here to be a whipping boy? Like,
right.
Have a little bit of self-respect. If someone doesn't like you, or if somebody is saying, like, hey, I don't want to be with you, and your response is to just continuously pour energy into this, like, Sisyphean task where all you're gonna do is just, like, essentially one day badger them until the point where they finally lament, and then nothing goes your way anyway because you didn't fucking do anything. Like,
well, and this is what I'm talking about. This is why, like, when I hear things of, like, the semi, what you gonna call it, Kevin Samuels-esque vibe of, you know, hearing about the conversation of, like, oh, high value men with money can get whatever woman they want, and it's like, no, it doesn't matter whether you have tons of money, not a damn cent, and anywhere in between, you can't get whomever you want, because not everybody has a price.
Well, it's funny because it's like, can rich attractive men get more women? Yes, obviously. But the funny thing about it is they'll say, like, oh, they can get whoever they want. No, they can't. They just accept and are happy with the people who are available to them. Do you know what I mean? They're not going like, hey, suburban mom who's married and happy in a relationship, I want you. And they throw all of their energy at convincing this one random person. Like, it doesn't work like that. It's more that they show up to a place, mm-hmm. and then women, they approach women, or women approach them, and then they, you know, accept the offer and develop their relationship from there.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, usually wealthier men who have money, there's that mindset of, like, oh, well, if you have all this wealth, you can attract all these women. Yes, but you also attract opportunists. I'm not going to act like, you know, some women go for certain men because of their status. Like, there's tons of people who do that. We just, like, we just had that whole scandal with PJ Washington wash over, where that Britney girl essentially, oh, I feel like was a little predatory, you know, essentially.
Oh, yeah, I agree this, with you. I agree with you. Got with this
exceptionally young man, you know, married him, had a child, had the child, and then left, and now has secured a whole heap of money.
And honestly, like, that whole story has just, like, it really revealed to me how deep, like, the misogyny and the programming, like, 'cause it really is, like, societal programming goes. 'Cause I've also been watching videos of people who I consider to be, like, good, well-thought-out people jump to the defense of the woman. In this whole scenario where, like, she's going around, she finds this kid in college, basically grooms him, and then people's response, who again I think are, like, good, smart, well-reasoned people, are like, oh, well, she put out online that she was that she was gonna do this, so then why did he go for it?
Right.
And it's like, okay, sure, but she's also whispering in his ear that, you know, it's different this time or whatever. Like, she's, that's the whole thing of groom, that's what grooming is. Like,
right.
it gets very frustrating to me because it's like people go, oh, he should have known, and acting like she's not searching for a young, vulnerable man to groom specifically to ignore those videos. And then when she succeeds, people's response is, oh, this man should have known better. And the reason I say it's misogynistic is because, like, it's rooted in this idea that women need to be protected. You know what I mean? That women can't take care of themselves and women need to be protected. And so, like, she couldn't have been this mastermind. She's not capable of being this mastermind. And also, inversely, the man should have known and been a provider to himself and taking care of himself. And the whole point is that, like, that's not how it works. Like, there are men who are dumb. There are women who are evil. You know, or I shouldn't say dumb. There are men who are naive, and there are women who are willing to exploit that, just in the same way that when you reverse the genders, it works the same way. And it's pretty obvious who the villains are.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And put it this way, in the spirit of Halloween, I will speak my theory that, like, I believe that there are a number, like, a significant number of female serial killers, but just because of the whole misogynistic impression that, like, women are more vulnerable, women are less capable.
Yeah.
That they are overlooked and, you know, and passed over for, you know, possibly doing something so heinous. And I don't want to compare this woman to a serial killer. Sorry, guys. I just finished binging my 15 seasons of Criminal Minds. Don't judge me. Like, you're right. And this, like, because I don't want to say women don't deserve to be protected. Of course, women deserve to be protected in a world where it is inherently dominated by men. That doesn't mean that the outliers don't exist in the sense that, like, all men know what to protect themselves from and therefore can protect others and aren't, like you said, aren't naive, can't be manipulated. The same way that, like, older man will, an older rich guy will date a younger pretty girl, and people will be whispering, saying, oh, she's just a gold digger. She only wants what he has, blah, blah, blah.
Or they'll just straight up say that this old man is taking advantage of this young woman.
Right.
And, like, to clarify a little bit, because I guess what I said was a little bit messy, like, yes, women deserve to be protected. What I mean to say is that, like, there's a certain kind of naivete and innocence that people project onto women.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, some women use to their advantage.
Oh, yeah. Finesse.
100%. What? I mean, honestly, like, isn't that the Karen move?
No, it's not even the Karen
move. It is 100% the Karen move.
No, I'm going to tell you.
So many Karens, especially white women, use their "we need to protect them" status.
I mean, that's
to their advantage to dominate a situation. Because they know that, like, when someone comes in, they're immediately going to go, oh, poor white woman, you need to be protected. And immediately puts it in their corner so then they can use these random people against you.
You're right. Definitely. You're, in that sense, you're absolutely right. It's definitely a Karen move. I was more speaking in the sense of, like, just even the whole mantra of, you know, the concept of hot girl summer, city girls, where, like, you know, girls would get all dolled up looking pretty, find, you know, guys with money, make them pay for stuff, you know, under the impression or exploiting the impression that, like, you know, they're gonna get some pussy. Hell, even giving some pussy just to secure financial gains and situations and freedoms and whatnot. And, like, in a sense, I agree. Like, that's definitely a level of that kind of impression. And I feel like having it out to the forefront has really triggered men in the sense of, like, making the agenda kind of known and present.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like, I mean, I feel like everybody's, like, I'll be real, like, Hot Girl Summer start, like, this whole meme or whatever it is,
yeah,
the whole wave or whatever started, like, more recently. Mm-hmm. I've known what's up in that there are girls who will just flirt with you to get a drink since I was, like, a teenager.
I know,
it's not a surprise.
No, for sure.
But it's the fact, the difference is I feel like in Hot Girl Summer or whatever, there's an acknowledgement that if you're being a piece of shit, they'll just do, like, if you're gonna be a piece of shit to me, I'm gonna be a piece of shit to you back, and I'm just gonna bring you out for drinks.
But it's not, it's
like, if you're gonna waste my time, I'll waste your money, period. Right,
but it's not even just drinks, though. Like, I feel like the city girl, like, vibe is more like, I want you paying my rent. I want you paying my phone bill. I want you paying my car note. And
shout outs to Pretty Privilege, by the way.
I mean, like, and it's... No comment. But, like, I just mean, even if it takes, like, multiple dudes to do that, like, I got friends that are on that city girl agenda that have a dude, paying a car note, have a guy working, like, helping towards rent, paying with the car, phone bill, paying with this, paying with that, paying with this, and... Like, a part of me is like, yeah, girl, if, you know, make his pockets hurt. Do, 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 do. Like, but at the same time, a part of me is always in the back of my head, like, always have an exit plan for that shit. Because, like, if you're, like, as much as it's nice to have, you know, somebody giving their, providing, being generous, under whatever circumstances may be agreed upon you both, my whole thing is just kind of like, girl, have an exit plan for, because, like, what happens if that don't work? What happens if homeboy didn't get paid that week? What happens if he lost his job? It's a pandemic, you know? Like, what is your backup plan if that doesn't work? What's plan B?
And the other side of it too is like, okay, what if it does work, he finds out, then you end up just breeding more of these misogynists.
Maybe, but some guys don't care, though. Like, if some guys who have money like that are like, oh, she talking to me because she wants her car paid. Like, okay, whatever. Her car's not that expensive anyways, and I get some pom pom or whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is that, like, you know, like, social media is a real thing. Being able to pay for girls to get whatever they want is a flex now. Like, yeah. Stank streak, it is, right? Hey. And there is pressure on social media to live up to these kind of lifestyles.
Yeah.
So there are men who are going to be overspending on these kind of women.
Right.
Women are going to be taking advantage of them, and I don't blame them for feeling hurt afterwards. I will blame them for being misogynist afterwards, but
yeah.
I don't blame. But, like, do I understand that they take that hurt and channel it into further or deepening misogyny? Like, yes, of course, I'm sure that happens. I'm sure it happens all the time.
Yeah, for sure, and I definitely can agree with that. But my whole at least for me is like, look, know your, like the slogan for OLG, know your limit, stay within it. Like, if you find that you're going to, you know, payday loans, taking out line of credits, putting yourself in debt to have a lifestyle or to portray a lifestyle, especially for social media, that you genuinely don't have, or to attract women that may, I don't know, even also portray that lifestyle that they don't even follow themselves.
I mean, like, they definitely do if they're trying to rely on other men's income in order to...
I mean, some girls just feel, like, entitled. Like, some women have audacity, too. As much as I love to talk about the audacity of men, women have audacity, too. And my whole thing is, like, don't ask nobody for nothing you can't do for yourself. So it's like...
Well, and but part of the thing is, too, is that like, if you're a woman and you're in this situation, you know that you're with somebody, maybe even if they're not your man, and they're overspending on you and you don't do anything, then you're part of the problem.
No, I know. Like, I'm not disagreeing. Yeah, like I definitely
you just are.
But at the same time, it's also a self thing. Because, like, here's the thing. They can be part of the problem. This guy runs out of money. She leaves. He has to, you know, work himself back into a more financially comfortable situation for what? To him meet another woman and do the same thing again? Like, he needs to also understand his love map, his love language, to he needs to understand that, not even understand that, but understand what he wants from any relationship with a woman and what the appropriate steps are to foster a positive relationship, right?
Well, I mean, let me throw it back to something I wanted to say when we were talking a little bit earlier, but I didn't feel like I had the chance to. Yeah. There are men who don't like women. They don't know how to be in a relationship. They really view relationships just as like sex, fundamentally transactional.
Yeah.
But they also don't know how to be in a better kind of relationship. Like, whatever you do to other people is done unto you, right? So if you're saying, oh, I'm in a transactional relationship, you assume that their relationships are transactional too. Even if they're not, you assume that.
Yeah, no, I agree, because definitely, even for myself growing up, like, you see a certain relationship and you just assume it's just, oh, they just do A, B, and C. And if it doesn't work out, oh, they fought and broke up or whatever. Like, you know, just assume the basic things and not... It took me, surprisingly, a very long time to understand that... being in a relationship with someone is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It took me longer than I would care to admit that a relationship with someone, how genuine that relationship is. You know, like, you can love somebody, but like, you have to also like them.
Yeah, true.
Right? And it took me a while longer than I care to admit, to realize that, like, I have to like the person that I love and that I'm choosing to spend my time, energy, body, money, everything with. Right? Because it's like, you may love that person, but if you don't like them, like, you're just fucking miserable all the time.
Well, and also just straight up, like, I just... It's been my personal opinion for a long time that, like, love is a much rarer thing in the world than people say it is. Because, frankly, I think there are a lot of people out there in the world who just don't know how to love. Like, they're just not capable of it. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to give themselves like that. They don't know how to accept people like that. They just can't do it.
Well, I feel like people want to, but they just, like you said, they don't have that clear understanding. And the other thing I feel like a lot of people don't do is, like, and I feel like I may be seeing a little bit more of it now, but, like, a lot of people don't take time to really, like, look into themselves and see what they want, love, and, you know, need from an actual person before, like, they'll claim that they're single but be going out on dates 4 or 5 times out of the week and not really, like, making time for themselves. And spending time with themselves. Because it's like, if you can't enjoy your own company, how do you expect somebody else to enjoy your company?
I mean, I'll say from personal experience, that's a little tough. Because, like, I know that, like, I've definitely... There was a time in my life where I was in some relationships, or I wanted to be in some relationships. And I wanted to be in them because, like, I thought love would save me. And I wasn't in a good place and I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And I thought that, like, if I was in this relationship, I would be happier.
Right.
And that turned out to, like, not be true. Mm-hmm. Right. What actually helped me was a bunch of therapy and not this kind of shit.
Right.
But, like... Again, in order to sit and ask questions of yourself, you need to be capable of introspection.
Right.
And not everybody's capable of introspection, unfortunately.
Definitely not. And it's just like,
Well, it's a learned skill. You have to practice it. And there's a lot of people who just don't take the time to do it.
No, for sure. And it's funny because you know this girlfriend. I'm obviously not going to say their name. But them and their partner were going through a really tense period where it seemed like she was upset because she had had expectations of him to do and act accordingly how she had her own expectations of what he was supposed to do, and had this expectation that, like, as a partner, you're supposed to know what to do and how to do it because this is how I like things being done. Whereas, like, he had his own expectations of what he likes to do because, like, he has his own way of doing things. And I kind of had to, like, I almost felt like a translator in the middle, where it's like, I understand where she's coming from, I understand where he's coming from, but, like, they weren't hearing each other but expecting each other to know because they're together.
Well, it's funny, they're both coming from the same place, right?
Yeah.
Because she has her own way of doing things, her own expectations, and he has his own way of doing things, his own expectations.
Right.
And they're not meeting each other's expectations because they both have different ways of doing things.
Right.
But they're expecting the other person to pick up and, like, know, conform to how I want to do things.
Right.
I mean, even that kind of thing is very, like, a lot of people, there's a lot of people who will basically make arguments or talk about how, like, if you really knew what was going on, you would just come to my position. And that's just almost never the case.
Yes, it's almost never
the case that you learn more shit and then you actually change your mind about something.
Right. And like, it's funny because, like, I had to, like, tell him, like, bro, like, how, like, and it sounds weird to say, like, how to handle your woman, but, like, okay, I had to kind of break down, like, look, she has this issue, you agree with the issue, but you want to handle it differently than how she would like it handled. If that works really well for you and is better, then, like, you need to kind of, like, put her in a different position to open up that space to do it. Like, for example, I don't know, with, like, cleaning. Like, she'd prefer cleaning immediately. Whereas, like, he's kind of like, I'll clean at the end of the day. No big deal. So it's like, if you want to avoid that kind of all day nagging until you clean at the end of the day when you're comfortable, like, I don't know, set her up with something. Do something nice for her. So that she's distracted by the something nice, and then you're doing your cleaning or whatever when you're comfortable. And then she comes out after the nice thing. She'd be like, oh, and he cleaned? Like, it creates, I don't want to say a facade, but, like, it changes the perspective of things. Because it's like, I don't know, I'm that kind of person. If I sit and I want something done and I see you doing everything else but what I'd like you to do, I get it. It makes me mad. Like, I'm hot. But, like, if you're like, oh, here, babe, go soak your feet or something. I'm like, okay, and I'm relaxing, soak my feet, I'm on my phone, I'm distracted. And in the background, you're doing what I was waiting for you to do. Bro, it's like the 180. And, like, I had to, it's hilarious how easy communication changes everything.
And I also think, like, there needs to be, like, there's a lot of people who are with somebody and they don't want to upset their partner. Like, they value their partner's feelings.
Yeah.
But they just don't think about how the things they do are going to affect their partner. Like, yesterday we were talking about some plans you're making today. Or you wanted to make today.
Right.
And I was kind of like, well, I want to approach it this way, but I know that's going to make you anxious, so we're not going to do that. Even though I think that's actually, like, the most logical approach.
Right.
You know, if it was just me,
that was probably the decision you would have gone with.
That's the decision I would have made.
Right.
But I also don't want to put you into anxiety mode.
Right.
And I value that, so it's fine. Like, all right. I'll be 15% less efficient or whatever to make sure that you're not anxious. That's fine.
And I appreciate that because, like, that works in the long run, you know, figuring out compromises. But also, I think what's important is the fact that, like, cards are being laid out on the table. It's not like a smokescreen or an illusion of, like, here's maybe an option A and a possible option B and option C, which is what I really want. Like, it's just kind of like
you do the classic freelance artist trick where you're like, I'm gonna make you three drafts and two of them are shit and the one you like is good,
right?
And you're like, pick one.
Right.
Two of them are stick people and one of them is a Renaissance painting. You're like, which is best?
Exactly. So it's just kind of like, I feel like a lot of people say like, oh, I communicate, but it's like, do you communicate or do you just make demands?
Well, and I'll even say that you were saying like, oh, it's about making a compromise. From where I stand, it's not a compromise, right? Because like, I want both of these things.
Yeah.
It's a choosing of priority. Like, which one do I want more? To have my partner be happy or for me to be a little more efficient?
I mean, and that's fair. And
right?
That's fair. Because like, it's funny because I remember this friend, she was saying like, bro, like I get upset and I yell at him, but it's like he doesn't listen. What else can I do? And I'm like, girl, stop yelling.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like mind blowing, like, what do you mean stop yelling? And it's like, and I came up with the spice meter for her, which is like, some people can listen and understand things when it's mild versus when it's medium versus when it's hot, you know? And like, some people are so oblivious that like, until you get to that hot level and you're super angry, they finally realize like, oh shit, something's wrong.
Well, and part of the problem is too, is it's not just that they're oblivious, it's that you train them like that. Like, if
yes.
you go 0 to 60 and the first thing you do is start yelling, then you teach your partner, when I care about something, I'll yell about it.
Right, right. And so, which can also train people to start tuning you out. Because if you're always known to yell for everything, like there's no spectrum, then it's like, oh, okay, she's going off again, or he's going off again, he's yelling, whatever. And then they tune you out.
Yeah.
Because I've done that with certain people that I know just literally goes from 0 to 100 and will yell over like a stick on the floor. Why is this stick? Like, I just tune you out.
Yeah.
I tune you out because it's like you're doing the most. But for some people, and it depends on the person for me as well, like if you come at a more milder temperament or even a slightly medium, gets me a little uneasy, like, why are you doing too much? But like, if you come at a more mild temperament and be like, look, that thing you did earlier, you know what? I really wasn't feeling it. I didn't like it. Hurt my feelings. It bothered me or whatever. I'm listening to you because we're having a conversation.
Yeah, and it can be hard to do that because like, I'm definitely a person that has a lot and very strong feelings.
Yeah.
And it feels really good to show up and just yell at somebody, especially when you're already upset. But it's like, there's a line from the Midnight Gospel, you guys should watch it, it's great. You know, that kind of feeling is it's a sweet flower with bitter roots. It feels really good in the moment, but long term, it's not very good. When you get down to it, you get to the root of it, it's not good for you.
Right, and like, I'm understanding in the sense of like, I totally support like my friends having a space, like my partner having a safe space to vent. And sometimes that includes yelling. Cause like I said, I get hot too. I get pressed. I yell. I raise my voice. I try not to raise my voice at them. I may raise my voice in conversation with them. And I feel like that's also important because when somebody feels like they're targeted or that like that kind of aggression or negative, energy is directed at them, they also check out, you know?
Yeah, it really is a question of, like we were saying before, like knowing what you want, right? Because sometimes you go into a conversation and what you want is for like the situation to change or for there to be a a progress in the conversation, you know, like there to be some progress that's achieved. But instead what you do is you approach the discussion with all the tactics to just make you personally feel better. Wait. And sometimes having a productive conversation feels like shit while you're having it.
I mean, yes.
Because you've got to like bite your tongue, let the person have it out, listen to what they're saying, listen to their perspective, even though you're mad. And what you want to do is just yell and make yourself feel better, because that's how it is. Mm-hmm. But that's not conducive to getting the outcomes you want.
And right, so you just have to take the L and just hold it. But, like, I was going to
say... Well, it's not even, like, taking the L. Uh-huh. It's, like, sometimes... If you want to lose weight, you can't eat cake. And it sucks to not eat cake. Like, I love eating cake.
I disagree. Right. You can't eat cake.
Well, you have to eat cake.
But in limited moderation.
But that's what I mean. And sometimes in order to do what you want, you have to do stuff you don't want.
Yes, yes.
Right? And, like, you know, you can be like, oh, I want to lose weight. But if you never change your diet and you only eat in ways that are going to be, like, making you feel good and taste good in your mouth.
Yeah, like, high calorie, high fat. You're not exercising, not drinking no water.
Then you're not going to lose weight. You can put all the intentionality you want into it, but if you're not going to change your... like, most of the times, outputs are the products of inputs.
Yeah.
So if you show up to a situation messy as fuck, the outcome is probably going to be messy as fuck too.
I agree. Well, I was going to say, to kind of bring into that whole idea of conversation, is just, it's also... And this is why I kind of go back to introspection, because, like, it's so important to know what you want, because there's no point in showing up to a conversation and you don't know what you want. Because if the person's there present and listening and they're like, hey, so-and-so, like, I'm here to receive and listen to what you have to say. Tell me what you want. And you don't know what you want. Like, it's a pointless conversation, because you can say, hey, I want you to always wear red shirts, and every time you see me, you give me a foot rub, but I also want you to also be out working and getting that bag, and I want you to always do handstands and cook dinner for me. Like, what the fuck is that? That makes no sense, right? So it's just kind of like, I feel like if you don't know what you want, you can't communicate it. You know, you don't have a tool to communicate, or you don't know how to communicate, therefore you can't receive it. And then you kind of keep a cycle of weirdness, you know? Or if you don't break toxic habits, or recognize and break toxic habits with, like, old friends, previous partners, and you bring that into new situations, and then the new situation's like, yo, fuck this, peace out, and then you're like, surprise Pikachu face. Why didn't this work? What?
It hasn't worked every other time I tried it.
Yeah, like, and it kind of goes back to that whole, like, the initial conversation of with men approaching women who don't want them and breaking them down. Oh, maybe the 56th time I tell her, let's just be more than friends, she'll maybe want to be more than friends. And it's like, no. If it's not working for you, change the player, change your game, take the cartridge out, blow, like, you know, maybe get a whole new system.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, for, like,
sure.
I just, it's just wild to me. So, like, when I see toxic habits and toxic patterns, and I'm just like, bro, I think maybe you might have to leave this one on the shelf. Check out a new book.
The thing about it too is that, like, there are some conversations mm-hmm. where the best thing you're gonna get out of it is a good time and clown on somebody. 100% that's true. So it's not that you gotta, like, take these toxic habits and throw them away. You just need to know where to apply them. Because it's like, to go back to the dieting analogy, mm-hmm. like, if someone's like, oh, I wanna lose weight, and their plan is to do a bunch of sit-ups.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to lose the weight. Sit-ups don't do that for you. They're healthy. They're good. they have a purpose. They let you be more flexible. They let you strengthen your core, whatever. But one of the things that's good about them isn't fucking weight loss.
Yeah.
You're better off changing your diet. So, like, if you're going to go, like, you need to know what you want so you can know how to get there.
Right. But if you want to get a more snatched waist, or maybe a flatter stomach, then yeah, the sit-ups can apply.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. If you want to have a toned stomach, do sit-ups.
Yeah.
Right? Don't change your diet, do sit-ups. But if you want to lose weight, sit-ups aren't going to do that for you.
Yeah.
They're just not.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. Like, I hate the fact that, like, in 2021, like, even in your own home, you can't feel safe as a woman. Because it's like, this person worked maintenance in her building. And, like, not everybody can own a house. Not everybody can afford to rent a house. Not everybody can afford, you know, top-of-the-line security, protection. And it's just, like, when you have a space that's supposed to be your safe space and your sanctuary, and it's just not, or it's violated because, again, of, like, you know, audacity and expectations, it's just so, it's so sad.
I mean, like, my, I've got complicated thoughts on it, because certainly whatever we're talking about is more extreme and more intense in women's situations. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, nobody's safe. At the end of the day, if somebody wanted to kill you, they probably could. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's no, like, I understand this woman had, like, her home broken into probably and then was murdered. But at the same time, almost anybody can have their home broken into and killed in their sleep.
Yeah, but you have to also realize that there is a disproportional number. Like,
it's that's exactly what I said on the top. It's more acute, it's more intense, it's whatever for women, but it's present for everybody.
Yeah, but it's just like, but here's the thing, like,
I've spent a long time growing up also not feeling safe in my own home for different reasons.
Yes.
You know? So
I'm sorry, I want to say her name because I don't want to be like, oh, this woman.
Right, yeah.
Her name is Maya Marcano.
Maya Marcano, rest in power.
Amen, because, like, it's just so sad. It's so sad. She was a 19-year-old college student from Florida, you know, who, repeatedly rejected the advances from a maintenance staff worker.
I mean, I just want to say that, like, obviously it's a tragedy, and it falls into very obvious patterns of toxic masculinity and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, this is also not going to be a problem we can ever fully eliminate. There's always going to be random assholes who take it too far and do this kind of shit.
And the thing that just makes me so, like, that makes me so irked, is, like, the guy killed himself afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, what was even the point?
Yeah, what was, like, even the point?
Like, my whole thing is, like, and when I say this, I don't mean to ever purport suicidal ideation, ever, because I believe that despite a lot of people's shortcomings, everybody does matter. Everybody has the right to exist.
Yeah, every human life is valid and should be protected. That's facts.
However, I'm also on the side that, like, for example, with assisted suicide, for example, for people who are on life support, people who don't wish to stay on life support, things of that nature, should also have the right to do so.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Right? So, like, that, like, when I say that in that kind of mindset of what I believe in, that, like, if you were going to choose to end your life, why end hers too?
Yeah.
Like, that's just so not right. That's so, like, there are the weirdos who, and I feel sorry calling you guys weirdos, I'm sorry. But there are, like, the peculiar, the different, the outlier, who have this mindset, well, if I can't be with you, I don't want to be with nobody else. That's your right, totally valid to feel that way. You don't have to take them out with you because they don't necessarily agree. That's not fair. That's, like, you don't have the right to choose for that person.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference here, right? Like, when we're talking about euthanasia, it's like people ultimately should be able to have the freedom to decide their own life up to including ending it. But that doesn't give you the freedom to decide somebody else's life for them.
Right. So it's just like, it makes me so sad to know that something so simple as, like, okay, you liked her, she, you know, you wanted to take her out, whatever, she was not interested. You're telling me in Florida, you could not find another woman? Leave that little girl alone. Like, you were 27. You're telling me you couldn't find another woman in the space of your job and your home to take out? I don't know, gets me fucked up. Like, I get so, so sad about it.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad. I just believe that as people, We can do better, and we should do better, and that I will just kind of like reinforce that don't settle for anybody who doesn't want to be with you. In the mindset of like, if somebody asks you out and they're like, yeah, you know what, sorry, blah blah blah, all right, like how you've said before, like, your loss, okay, cool, like, have your self-respect and be with somebody who wants to be with you, because that's the best feeling, in my opinion. Like, I hate, like, I've talked about it in an episode before where people will say like, oh, I like to win over somebody's mind. For what? If I change your mind, I'm flexing on you. I'm like Cardi B spitting on you from the top of the rooftops. Like, can't, don't come here. You had your chance, you missed it. Bye. Like, I'm petty in that kind of sense. But
I mean, I definitely understand, because like, I've always gone to the mindset with dating that like, I want to go on a date and I want to have a good time.
Yeah.
Period. And like, having a good time to me is not arguing with somebody about why I'm a good prospect. Like, if you don't think that's the case, okay, great. I'll just leave you, go smoke a joint, have a few drinks, or you know what I mean? Like, maybe call a friend afterwards or something, talk about how my date was awful and still have a good night. It's not a big deal.
Right. Like, and that's how I feel. It's like, I go out on a date, I don't necessarily like that person per se, and I'm like, whatever. End the night, call it a day. It's a story, like you said, sort of kiki after, okay, this sucked, or this was a great, or whatever, just leave it alone. But
well, it's one of those things where it's like, people in these kind of situations have as much power over you as you let them.
Yeah.
It's not always the case. Sometimes people can force power over you. But in these kind of cases, no, they have as much power as you let them have. And if you want them to ruin your night like that, if you want them to get stuck in your craw because of rejection,
mm-hmm.
which, like, rejection is nothing. Rejection, it doesn't mean anything. It's not. Especially when we're talking about romantic relationships and dating, it's just not a judgment on who you are as a person. It's not a judgment on your value as a person. And if somebody makes it, then they're wrong.
Half the time, it's just a bullet dodged question.
Most of the time, it's just a question of preferences. That's it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, just, I don't know, like, kind of even circling back to the very top of what we were talking about in terms of like men who don't like women, it goes back to, and there's some women who literally will entertain certain guys because of, you know, societal expectations, you know, patriarchy, things like that, and they just actually don't like the men that they're dating, but that's the expectation of who they're supposed to date. Like, bro, date people that you like. Let me
throw on the spicy take on this. Ooh. And that's that. Okay. Honestly, straight up, a lot of women practice their own form of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And then surprise Pikachu face when men are shit to them.
I've definitely
heard a lot of women, at least, you know, as someone who admits, I'm an artist. I got into art because I'm a sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of women who just won't give me the time of day because they think I'm too sensitive. But then they also go around and act like, why are all these men so secretive? Why are these men not communicating? It's like, because you're selecting for traits that that you think are good because you've been brainwashed into thinking they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why you think they're good. They're not actually productive for you in your relationship. You're just like, oh, a good man should have this in his checkbox.
Right.
And that's not a way to approach people. I mean, just in general, like, you should let people be who they are instead of what you expect them to be.
I was gonna say, it's funny because hearing this just kind of unlocked a memory for me. I remember with a previous partner, a question that I asked them was like, when was the last time you cried? And like, it's funny. Yeah, I know you're laughing because like, bro, that's like us like what, 2 days ago? A day
yeah,
ago,
I was yesterday. About to say, for me, it's like yesterday. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But it's like, their answer was like, oh, I don't remember the last time I cried. It has to at least like how many years? And I'm like, bro, you haven't cried in years. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, it is wild to me that, like, especially now, to be like having all of that pent up emotion with no
place to like no out place to have like an output, no way to vent, no way to kind of like acknowledge them, get them out, communicate them, dissect them, understand. Like, that's really bad.
Yeah.
That's really bad that it's like you personally have a belief to kind of cocoon yourself from certain emotions to have, and that the only emotion you're allowed to have is anger. I don't blame him personally. I definitely blame how society standards, because that's usually the acceptable emotion in men, is to be angry or have no emotion. And if they do have emotional, you know, more emotions such as, you know, surprise, such as, you know, sadness, even just like, it's funny because like being watching shows and watching men being like moved to tears and be like, oh, this is so thoughtful and blah blah blah, and I'm crying with them. I'm like, yes it is, that's so nice. But it's like, I shouldn't be that. like it should be a regular thing that like men should be comfortable expressing.
Yeah,
you know,
I oh man, I had a point and then I totally lost it. Holy shit. No, it's all good. Yeah, I mean, definitely for men. Oh, I remember what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
And here's the hard truth of it that I think is hard for men to accept. And I think it's easier for women to accept, but maybe a little hard for them to accept as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's that most relationships are based on weakness. Most relationships are based on shared weakness.
What do you mean?
Like, what do you think is... Who do you think, just if you were watching a movie,
yeah,
and there was two men,
yeah,
what do you... And you watch two scenes, and one of them, the men are talking with each other about how many women they slept with.
Yeah.
And in the other one, two men are talking about how they're both going through dry spells. Who do you think who do you think feels more friendly in that scene? The men who are talking about how they're so strong and succeeding, or the men who are talking about how they're both in a bad spot?
Yeah, I guess.
Most relationships are based on mutual weakness. They're mostly based on how you guys, like, how you guys have similar problems and not similar solutions.
Interesting. I don't know, I guess. I never thought of it that way, because, like,
I mean, that's how I felt like our relationship with you, you know? Like, we have a lot of things in common and a lot of strengths in common, but that also leads to... But we also have a lot of mutual weaknesses in common. Like, we both like to start projects but not finish them.
Oof, yeah, that's true. I mean, like, here's the thing. We do, but I don't feel like we bonded over that. It's more just kind of like, hey, you do that too? Cool.
Like, but that is bonding, though. That's what bonding is.
After the fact of bonding over things that we, like, both consider strengths. At least for me.
No, I don't know. I really think that when you drill down to it, and maybe this is just like a spicier take than I give it,
uh-huh,
but I actually think that when you look at it, most of your relationships are strengthened based on mutual weakness. Like, even just think of like a child and a parent. The reason why the people love each other is because the kid is weak. And they, you know what I mean? And like, you have responsibility, and so you need to take care of them. That deepens your relationship. If a kid came out and they were totally independent, you would have a less kind and less loving relationship with them, most likely. Because, like, they don't need you for that kind of stuff.
I mean, I guess.
That's my personal opinion.
I guess. But here's the thing. Okay, but you're saying a child is weak, and that's what kind of fortifies the bond.
Yeah, objectively.
But then what's the weakness in the adult that bonds the child to them?
I mean, because, like, they love, like, they got to take care of this child, and they're invested in this child.
I feel like it's proximity sometimes for the kids.
That's true. But, I mean, you're right. But, like, that doesn't, I mean, shared weakness doesn't 100% mean your relationship is going to be good. But I think that a relationship without any kind of shared weakness just isn't a normal kind of relationship.
Yeah, probably.
You know, like all of them.
Nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Like, all men are flawed, period. And people, well, I say men as like a thing for all humans.
Yes, yes.
All humans are flawed, and like, that's going to be universal. And okay. So in that way, it's like, mm-hmm, the universal way to build a relationship.
Okay. Now, I want to close this up with asking you, maybe, I guess this is a two-part question. Okay. For you personally, what is the like biggest red flag that anybody should like not ignore? Like just full stop, end it, throw it away. It's done. Burn it with fire. No.
100%. If they're shitty to wait staff, then that means they'll be shitty to you. Because sure. There's a lot of people who like me personally, if you're friends with me and, or not even if you're not friends with me, right? Yeah. I will not pull out the knives on you. That's just, unless you do it to me first, I'm not going to attack you on sensitive topics.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really come at you. I'm not going to try to hurt your feelings. It's not going to be my intention unless you fuck with me first. And if you're with somebody who's willing to do that to a stranger, they will be willing to do it to you as soon as you're not in their favor. As long as, you know what I mean? Like, as long as you're in their good graces, you're fine. But as soon as you're in their bad graces, they're shit to you. That's a red flag.
Yes. Okay. And then the second question is, name three things that you think is important to any positive like relationship, but not just like, you know, a dating relationship, but like even like friendships and stuff.
I definitely think communication is first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be a genuine effort to put the other person above your wants and needs, at least sometimes. And that comes back down to like, you know, I wouldn't want to even put you in a place where you're having anxiety,
mm-hmm.
you know, because like I care about your feelings like that.
Okay. And what's the last one?
Ooh, the last one. I don't know. I have to think of that one. Oh. How about we loop back to it and you answer your own questions first? You're the one who started it. Excuse me.
I'm joking. Okay. No, I agree with you. The in terms of a red flag is like how you treat staff, like wait staff, just customer service staff.
Strangers.
Yes.
Strangers.
How you treat strangers, because it's like until they got to know you, you were a stranger. Right?
Yeah. It's like how you treat strangers is kind of like your default position for how you are with people.
Right. Okay. But yeah, so I definitely agree with that. How you treat strangers is like how they treat you once they don't feel like they know you anymore. And I think three things that should be valued in any type of relationship is honest communication. Because, like, you can communicate. Me and my girlfriends communicate all the time. Whether it's meaningful or not is another debate. But meaningful and honest communication is definitely important in a relationship, because that helps you manage expectations. Being willing to have, like, to be introspective and understanding love languages, because whether you're in a relationship, friendship, whatever, everybody has their own love language, and I feel like it kind of shows like on a level that you really care about somebody or that you value a friendship by doing just like small things for your friends, small things for your family, small things for your partner, to be like, hey, I know you like this. This is for you.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's cute. I think it's nice. Thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my three things. What's your third one?
I'm going to say my third one is trust. I remember, for all my fellow nerds out there, I remember playing Mass Effect 2. And there was this one scene that like really stuck with me even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this father talking about his kind of fuck up criminally attached son who's trying to reform himself.
Yeah.
And he says to you, like, and he says to you as the character, like, I don't know if he's going to do the right thing, but I love him. And that means I have to trust him.
Oh, that's nice.
And there's a lot of people who they just won't trust people no matter what.
Yes. Yeah.
And they'll say like, I love you, but they'll still expect you to fuck up all the time. And sometimes love really is taking the 1 in 100 shot that this time they'll do better.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to wrap up this episode.
to, you know, send us a question, a comment, a concern. As Hill Diva loves to say, send us all that smoke. Don't be afraid to DM us at This Black Girl Podcast on Instagram. You can also tweet us at This Black Girl P on Twitter, because you already know Facebook, Instagram, all that went down in the doo-doo. But yeah, don't be afraid to reach out. New episodes are still coming out every Wednesday. What did you guys think of our series connecting with all of our different menses? They will be coming back. Don't worry. And with that being said, make sure to like, follow, subscribe.